People in northern Iraq are getting their first taste of life under ISIS, that's the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. The Sunni extremist group captured the large Iraqi city of Mosul last week with shocking speed. Now it holds much of the mainly Sunni areas of northern and western Iraq.
The U.S. is still considering how or whether to intervene. Today, Secretary of State John Kerry told Yahoo News that the U.S. is even open to talks with Iran to help stabilize the situation. In a moment, we'll ask Iraq's ambassador to the U.S. what kind of support the Iraqi government is looking for.
As the diplomacy unfolds, the militants march ahead. Over the weekend, they launched a bloody takeover of an ethnically and religiously mixed city, Tal Afar, near the Syrian border. NPR's Leila Fadel reports ISIS is introducing itself with a mix of makeshift public services and mass executions.
All across the city of Mosul are black flags with the words Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, the State of Nineveh, a proclamation that this group, so extreme that even al-Qaeda has disavowed it, is firmly in control here. And through phone calls with residents across the city, a picture of what life is like under ISIS is emerging. First, we spoke to Abu Muhammad, a day laborer who spoke to us by phone, and asked that we use his nickname for his security. He lives on the left bank of the Tigris River with his two children and his wife. Things are stabilizing, he says. The gunmen have even opened roads previously closed off by the Iraqi army. He says they're cleaning streets. Armed men are policing long fuel lines and rationing gas. Each family gets a free tank of cooking gas. And for now, it appears ISIS is trying to win the trust of those citizens who did not flee. Abu Muhammad says he asked one of the fighters, "Brother, how do we know who you are? You're all in civilian clothes." The man responded, "Give us some time. We'll have uniforms and we'll pass out phone numbers for anyone who needs help so they can call us." But Abu Muhammad does worry about who these men are. Were they released from prison when ISIS took the city? Will there be rapes? He doesn't know. Already, ISIS is boasting of mass executions of Shia members of the security forces. We also called Ziad al-Sanjari. He's a 40-year-old journalist who lives in central Mosul with his five children and his wife. To his surprise, the city is as calm as it's ever been since the U.S.-led invasion in 2003. ISIS pulled down most of the gray concrete blast walls set up across the city, and Sanjari says there is no gunfire and no bombs. He says mass gunmen are in control of the provincial headquarters and are flying their flag. There is even talk of a formation of a military and advisory council to run the city. Markets are open, food and water is available, but power is flickering on and off and the internet is out. And last Friday, ISIS set off alarm bells when it issued a declaration of laws called Order No. 34 and read it in mosques across the city. Those under our protection, the order says, are safe and should have peace of mind. But those who are spreaders of evil will be subjected to killing, crucifixion, or amputation. And women are ordered to stay inside. And if they have to go outside, they should cover up. People who worked with Iraq's government can repent, the order says, but those who don't will be killed. There are a lot of things you can be killed for, according to the charter. Gatherings under any flag other than that of ISIS is a crime punishable by beheading. Residents say that some of the armed men speak with accents from Tunisia or Egypt, and one displaced woman says she wept when she first saw the ISIS flag raised in her city. But the latest town captured is Tal Afar, and there they've already seen the brutal face of ISIS. It's a mixed town of Shias and Sunnis. One Shia man tells us he escaped his home with his family under mortar shells and gunfire as ISIS took the town after an intense 24-hour battle. He says Shias are terrified. When he calls people in the town, he's told ISIS is attacking Shia mosques and places of worship. He may never go back. He fears that if he does, he will be killed. Leila Fadel, NPR News, Erbil.